Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yell it out! It's Mark Grody on the other end of that primal scream. Hi, Mark.
Steve, it is so good to hear your voice, and when I say that, I mean that, because...
We played phone tag and text tag all week.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Sean Sears was like, hey, man, I know like you've been on every show this week and done just about everything, but any chance you want to come on with Steve Rosenblum? And I'm like, oh, yes, for sure. Just if nothing else, but to talk to Steve and to catch up a little bit and say hi and talk about the Bears because of the complications of the phone. I believe I made the last call. So that here we are, Steve, and it's beautiful to be talking to you. How are you, man?
It is. I'm groovy. I'm so groovy I could give lessons, dude. So there we go.
Oh, you got a new line, too.
Oh, wow.
That's
we're
great.
We're working it. We're working it. You know, it's not just Matt Spiegel who has all the good vibes, babe. We can be groovy here, too. We can work our way up to bitching and maybe totally rad at some point.
Wow, that is so anti-Saturday suckage, though. All this radical, positive, optimistic talk that is coming out of your mouth. Now, I did not hear the first hour of the show because I was napping. I'll go back, but was it positive vibes from out of the gates? Were you positive? What's been going on, Steve?
Well, no, not necessarily.
No.
It was there was some question. It was positive that there's four game sevens this weekend, two tonight and two tomorrow, and like that. And there's a show on Amazon about game sevens, and I love this. I can't wait to see that. I'm late to that.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat. That's yeah.
And then had Patrick Finley on, and we started his first piece after. The first round of the draft was, this is all anticlimactic. And I made the point, I agreed with him because I felt this mirrored last year when Ryan Poles and this year apparently Ben Johnson, they liked the pretty shiny thing that was there when they picked last year at 9, Romo Odunze, this year 10, Colson Loveland, and I could see why. However, I still have major questions about who's going to protect the quarterback to get the ball to all these weapons? And I was like, well, the Patriots are having the Bears draft. Look what the Patriots are doing. And I know they've redone it. They've traded their way back into an interior offensive line, and they drafted a guy in the second round. Like, well, okay, none of these guys have played together before, and how much PTSD does Caleb Williams have? So those are the things that I brought up. Those are the fears. You want to weigh in on those? Do you feel confident? Do you not? Do you way too early those concerns or what?
For whatever it's worth, I can tell you that I'm pretty sure the Bears were interested in Kelvin Banks, the offensive lineman. I think that was number one. I think that was real. I also think the Ashton Jeanty stuff was real. And it did not work in their favor because there were teams that were also motivated to get the Raiders were very interested in Ashton Jeanty, and they got him. And of course, the Saints go and snag Banks right before the Bears, and the Bears might have tried to get him or hope that he had fallen. I also think that in some order, it probably was Tyler Warren, Colston Loveland, and Kelvin Banks on that board. We now know that Colston Loveland was ahead of Tyler Warren. I'm not positive if Colston Loveland was ahead of Kelvin Banks or the other way around. I don't quite have that nailed down. But I think that it's pretty safe to say that those were the three guys, that this was not unorthodox in any way, shape, or form for the Bears, that Colston Loveland was targeted, and Banks may have been the one. You know, as Weederer on the Take the North podcast said, that there is, I like the way he put it better than the way I put it, that there is another world in which the Bears draft Kelvin Banks and Travion Henderson with their first two picks as opposed to Colston Loveland and Luther Burden. And I think that's real. I mean, that is real, but things don't always work in your favor, obviously, in a draft. And so you go on, and as we've been hearing from everybody, that we've been saying it, the Bears have been saying, you stick to your board, and that's what they did. So I like the way Patrick said that. You're right. I mean, nobody, when Colston Loveland gets called out, nobody, there's not a single person that I know of that was like, oh yeah, that was it coming. Maybe David Haw, because David Haw did predict it pretty boldly that they would take Colston Loveland. But everybody was like, didn't see that coming. If anything, Tyler Warren was the tight end that people thought, maybe Kelvin Banks. So, but as I've been also saying lately, once you see these picks, and I'll just talk about the first two, you know, few picks here, obviously you can make a case for all of them. It didn't take me long to be like, yeah, Colston Loveland's probably a pretty good pick. You could use a guy like that. Luther Burden, even though I didn't think they were going to take a wide receiver, that surprised me. I did not predict that. I did not have Luther Burden's name at the tip of my tongue at any point in time during the pre-draft process. But they take Luther Burden the third, and it's silly for anybody to say, yeah, the Bears have enough wide receivers. So they did it, and it made sense. And then, of course, somewhere along the line, you've got to get your offensive lineman, and that's what Ozzie Trapillo is out of BCU.
Mark Grody is my guest. You know those familiar tones. He's joining me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. So Ozzie Trapillo apparently is going to be left tackle. If the Bears are going to be really insane, they're going to move Darnell Wright and they're going to make two positions worse. I assume he's going to be the Ozzie Trapillo will get first shot at left tackle while Braxton Jones recovers. Do you have anything?
Yeah.
Are we just guessing? Where are we?
Yeah, I think we're all just guessing at this point. I don't think, I think it's funny how when, you know, Ryan Poles obviously went on the flagship and he was, I listened to it and he was certainly not definitive about Ozzie Trapillo being, they're gonna give him a shot. They're gonna try him there first, I think, is, you know, I'm trying to paraphrase properly here. So there was not conviction, I didn't feel, from Ryan Poles. Yeah, let's see what this looks like, because you have an injured left tackle, because Ryan Poles has said, he's been transparent, he's told you and everybody else that there could be some competition at left tackle. So that is an option. Ozzie Trapillo, let's see how you look. Karan Amagaji, come on down. You're going to get a look here, right?
Stand up.
Stand up. So he's going to get a look there. And, you know, it is the Darnell Wright piece. That's real. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if I'm okay with it, because he has been an ascending player playing the position in which he has been at right tackle. But that is a real thing. A lot of people thought maybe this is a smoke screen before the draft. No, the idea of moving Darnell Wright to left tackle is not out of the realm of possibility. The good news is, what I thought was more important in that interview that Ryan Poles said, is that they want to have this thing ready fast. They want to know who their five guys are fast. So it would be hard for me to believe that if they want this done fast, that the rookie that they just brought in, Ozzie Trapillo, would be the left tackle. You know what I mean? Like it. So it still could be. It could be Braxton Jones still. Like it, assuming that he is healthy, is not crazy to think that at least to begin the season, to have your comfort and your five guys, assuming he is 100%, that Braxton Jones could still be your left tackle. But that's just a guess on my part. I mean, there are many things that could happen. I can't, unless Trapillo is just boom, he's ready, He's magic at left tackle, sort of the way Braxton Jones was in his rookie year. Then I don't know. It would seem wild in this year that they're going for it. I don't know. Going for it is the right way. Where you have to make a big jump. Where your quarterback has to be comfortable in every way, shape, or form that you'd have a rookie at left tackle this year. But again, who knows?
The most important thing, first of all, this is an offensive line that's never played together. And that's an issue in itself. They may be accomplished in their own way.
That's a great point, because Dahlman, Tooney, and Jackson, we just assume that that's going to be all good. That's a great point. Go on, Steve.
Well, and it might be good because they are professionals, although Jackson was hurt and benched last year, and that may have been, you know, the way Sean McVay does things. Like, this guy's playing well, I'm not making a move, and I respect that. But with those guys on the offensive line, the one upside, when I was talking with Patrick Finley about it, the one upside is that Caleb Williams absolutely has to throw the ball quickly. I don't know where his PTSD is, but I know that DJ Moore, now Luther Burden, and Colson Loveland is a big target, but especially Burden and Moore are guys, they thrive in open space. Get them the ball quick and let them rack up yak. And do you think Caleb Williams has that in him to do it, to learn it, to Ben Johnson's got some magic to force him to do it? That seems really important to me, and will you see it in any of the mini camps, do you expect?
Yeah, I do think that Caleb Williams has the ability to do that, and I also think that Caleb Williams, after the rookie year, which was a wake-up call to him, I think his attitude right now is, whatever you need me to do, show me what I need to do to be great, because that's where Caleb Williams has set the bar. He comports himself, he carries himself like he's already a superstar, and I mean that in the best possible way. He's a chin up guy, you know what I mean? So I think he's going to be anxious to accept whatever Ben Johnson has to say to him. And hey, the question is good by you, because they did not have good on-field chemistry last year, Caleb Williams and DJ Moore. Let's just be honest. He did not have good on-field chemistry with Cole Kmet last year. You know, the best on-field chemistry that he had was Keenan Allen last year. And then Caleb even came out and said that that's the best wide receiver I've ever played with. So that was his comfort, and his comfort is now gone. And hey, you still got Rome Odunze out there as well, who needs his own development or needs to go to the next step as well. So it's really going to be on Ben Johnson to teach Caleb Williams again how to be a professional, how to be a professional on the field, off the field. And I do think that guys like, and I can't wait to see how they use Luther Burden too. I mean, obviously what you said is right. I mean, DJ Moore-esque in terms of he can do lots of stuff, but you could also hand the ball off to him. That sweep is something that we've talked about a ton. But so you could have a lot of fun with those two guys, with Luther Burden and DJ Moore. And once Caleb figures it out, that could be, you know, really good with those two guys. And look, hey man, short, quick passes, I don't think that should be the most difficult thing to figure out. Last year, like, I go back to it, I always say, like, Shane Waldron had the right idea to me at the beginning, which was, let's throw everything at him. And that's an organizational decision too, because Caleb's different, right? He's a generational quarterback. This is the best quarterback that we've seen since Andrew Luck. Let's give him everything. So I, in theory, I kind of like that idea, but he wasn't ready for it. Caleb Williams wasn't ready for it, and they had poor coaching around him, and they had a below-average offensive line, and they had a rookie wide receiver in Rome Odunze. So there were all sorts of different things, but I think that this is something now that you could figure out with the coach that you have and the staff that you have as well.
And the ends will always get you, Mark. The ends will always get you.
And yes.
So let me ask you this, because I had gone on to the Bears 2026 draft, because Dane Brugler had gone on to the NFL's 2026 draft, and he had the Bears drafting an edge from Miami.
Oh, good. That's awesome, man.
Reuben Bain. Sick. So get to working on him. But here's here is the point. The reason I brought that up is that he had them drafting 17th. He didn't predict a record, but he had them in the spot, 17th overall pick. So this year, this year's 17th pick was made by the Bengals, and they were 9-8 last year. They did not make the playoffs. And I asked the question, is that acceptable? Aren't the playoffs the minimum the Bears should expect, Bears fans should expect? Is improvement by 4 wins? Yes, thank you, Texter. I can't count. I don't do math. I became a writer because I thought there was no math involved, and here I am screwing up the difference between 5-12 and 9-8. So the Bengals were 9-8. So they win more than half their games but don't make the playoffs. Is that acceptable to you?
9-8 would be acceptable, yeah.
Not making the playoffs.
Yeah. Honestly, like an above 500 record to me would be acceptable for a Bears team that has had two 10-game losing streaks in the last 3 years. Steve, they were 5-12. Isn't that what you said, Mr. Math?
I heard that.
5-12 last year.
Yeah.
They lost 10 in a row last year. It was atrocious. The locker room was just kind of out of control in a good way for us, quite frankly. Like everything was ridiculous with the organization. Ryan Poles was going to get fired. They did fire a coach in season for the first time ever. They fired their offensive coordinator. How many games into the season was it? I think I'm getting hyperbolous here. But you get the point. Last year was a train wreck. Like one of the worst seasons in Bears history. So if you're asking me if 9-8 next year would be acceptable and no playoffs, yeah, that would be acceptable to me.
No. Spiegel had texted me and he goes, "I like the cut of your jib. Playoffs, yeah." And I said,
you tell Spiegel.
No, you tell him. You sat in with him yesterday. So, here's why I feel that way is that such buildup of, okay, you went out and you addressed the offensive line, the biggest problem you had. They haven't played together, but you bought and traded your way towards pros, and you got that, and especially the center, 24-year-old center, who was responsible for Bijan Robinson's terrific running between the guards, essentially. So that's great.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
And you have more gooder weapons, and Cole Kmet's not going to be buried. You would expect Ben Johnson is going to introduce Caleb Williams to DJ Moore. Say, hi, you two kids should play together. And Ben Johnson himself. What a liberating thought it is that you have an actual football mind, a working football mind on the sideline, making in-game decisions after making them all week about the way offense is going to look. And you're not going to bog your quarterback down with all of these. Don't throw it away. Don't throw an interception. Don't throw an interception. We don't like you. We don't want to like you. We won't be your best friends if you throw an interception. And that completely screwed up a guy who needs to play a lot freer. So, not making the playoffs, I don't know. We see it half the time. Half the playoff spots are taken up by teams that didn't make them the year before. So, and last to first is a regular thing in the NFL over the years. So,
sounds to me like you believe in this roster then.
Well,
you're looking at it and believe, saying, "Yeah, oh yeah, that's a playoff team."
I believe there are great strengths there, and I believe the quarterback is going to look like the quarterback. If he looks like the guy last year, forget it.
And
return the franchise charter. It's over. But I believe the quarterback's going to make strides. I really like the coach. This is their best shot. I fear the offensive line is going to take him down again.
Yeah. Well, the Caleb stuff, I get you, because I still think Caleb's going to be great. But the idea that you would assume that a Bears quarterback, especially if you're going to do the in his second year thing, when you've seen what happened to his predecessors, where we did that same exercise with Justin Fields, we did that same exercise with Mitch Trubisky, and now you, sir, are doing the same thing with Caleb Williams. Pardon me.
Guilty.
If I am going to just take a slightly broader view of the thing, a safer view for right now of quarterback one. But he is different from his predecessors. He is different from those two quarterbacks. So I get what you're saying. I just think it's unrealistic to assume that man. I mean, like, I love your attitude. I really do. Like, I'll take 10-7 and 11-11-6. I would take any of that stuff from the Bears, obviously. I just think that, unfortunately, you do have to allow just a little bit of time for development. Like, is Colston Loveland just going to come out catching passes and doing and blocking everybody and doing all that? Like, I just think it's going to take a little bit of time, but there does have to be a big bump this season. But for me to sit here and say, yeah, playoffs are bust, can't do it.
You were the one who made the point wonderfully well these last couple of weeks of, haven't we learned the Bears can never have enough wide receivers and they yes. never have enough wide, and you've done a wonderful job of that. But when you bring up Colston Loveland, it matters, but it doesn't matter because it's not all on him. Remember we were talking last year, if Roma Dunze had been the first Bears pick in the first round, if he yeah. had been, if they hadn't had number one, if he was number nine and that's where they were, like, so much would be on him. But it wasn't. It was on a guy who was taken 1-1, and that had its own issues. But Colston Loveland isn't regarded as a savior. He's regarded as a key piece of what we expect the Ben Johnson offense to be. We have an idea now with the draft picks, the way it's going to go, but we really haven't seen anything there. And I believe Ben Johnson is flexible enough to coach the players in front of him, not coach the X's and O's he wrote down on a cocktail napkin. That I think is another, but I think it's another big advantage. He can coach the players in front of him, and it's not all on Colston Loveland. So I do think there's reason for, I mean, your point is right. We've never seen the Bears with, they always need wide receivers.
Right. Now, if they had taken like five receivers in the draft, I could have made a point for them having done it. Because you and I could sit here right now and do the exercise of the 10 quality wide receivers this franchise has had. You know what I mean? Right. We could sit here and do that, which is ugly. And if it was earlier in the segment, I would say, let's do that. I'll say another thing too, man. Like, Cole Kmet kind of gets lost in all this, and I understand that because they drafted Colston Loveland, and we don't know how – well, I do know how Ben Johnson feels about Cole Kmet. He likes him, and he's not going anywhere. But, like, 2 years ago, Cole Kmet had his best year. He had his best year under Luke Getsy. You know, 700 – I don't have the numbers in front of you, but 700-plus yards, I think like six or seven touchdowns. He was of consequence in that offense. And then it dropped off the table last year, and I think a lot of that was Caleb Williams' fault. So I'm anxious to see what Ben Johnson can do with Cole Kmet. He could have a you know, and last year it wasn't all bad. He had the Jacksonville game where he had the London game, and of course he became the long snapper and all of that stuff. But let's see, because there's some of this where you're not just going to have, you know, super talent at every single spot. Let's see what Ben Johnson can do with guys that had not been effective previously. And Cole Kmet is one of those guys. DeAndre Swift is another one of those guys. All the running backs, you could say, are those guys. Let's see what Ben Johnson can do for those, because that's also what he's getting paid to do.
Mark Rohde is my guest. We're talking Bears football here on The Score. And a 6-3-0 texture makes a really good point. And I wasn't specific enough. And he said, Caleb had one of the best rookie seasons ever. WTF are you talking about? And I should have been specific. If he does the same thing where he holds on the ball too long and he threatens the league record for sacks, you can forget it. He'll be concussed out of the league. That's what I meant when I said forget it. It's not going to happen. So the idea, because this was spinning out of the discussion of make quicker throws and get guys in space. Let them rack up yak, as we say. That's my next rap song, rack up yak. And the idea that you have the players to do that, you want them in open space, and you can do it, that will help your offensive line, minimize the chaos on the offensive line. So 6-3-0 texture, you're right, and I should have been more specific.
Well,
and that's why I want to protect this guy. He needs to have a 10-year career, not a 10-game career.
Yeah, look, and hey, here's the thing. And maybe not fair, but Caleb Williams is judged harshly. He's judged on a big-time superstar scale. You know what I mean? We're not playing around here. So, look, he made some elite throws last year, like throws that I have not seen from Bears quarterbacks. And that's why I still think he's going to be a star. But there were also a lot of rough – I mean, the 6-3-0, it is a good text. You watched all the games. There were some moments – and some of the games, like the Indianapolis game where he threw for, like, some ridiculous – like, threw the ball 55 times. I mean, there were some things where he had no choice but to rack up some numbers because of what Shane Waldron was putting in his head. But look, he's going to be judged harshly and as you would say, Steve, on a big boy scale. This is big boy league, and he's a number one overall pick. And I think that Caleb Williams can take the heat, too, in terms of anybody who's going to be a little critical and wonder what he's going to do in this season here. But, yeah, the expectation is high for him, and it's not to be average. It's to be good, great, and to be a superstar. And I'm telling you right now, you ready for this, even after everything I said?
I'm ready for that. Yep.
Yeah, he's still going to be a star.
Yeah, he's doing his Eddie Vedder. Did you hear that, John?
All right. Mark Grody,
WBBL. Right. Before I let you go, real quick, I love Shamar Turner. I think the Bears got the best Shamar in the draft. I love Shamar Turner. I love his attitude. I love what he says. Give me your impressions of him and anything you picked up from where they envision him. I guess he's just going to follow Grady Jarrett around, and that's a good place to go. That's a smart. That's why I like this guy. He's smart to start with. So what do you think? What do you think of Turner?
I think he's great. Like, yeah, the personality is wonderful. The style of play, the violence of play, you know, talking about wanting to take guys' lunch money. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, though. You're going to have Billings back full force. You know, the indication is that Jervon Dexter probably is going to get a shot to start still, but Shamar Stewart should be part of a rotation. I don't know how soon he bounces up in there, but with Zach Pickens having had a weird season last year, there's certainly an opportunity for him to make an impact really quick. So, I love the possibilities. I mean, remember, this is a guy who was on the outside. He did have to stack on some pounds to move on to the inside, but he has played every position. I mean, three tech, all the techs he's played along the defensive line. It's a newer type of thing. So
he's a tech bro.
Yeah, he is like capable of doing all of it. A tech bro. Yes, he's a tech bro.
Like we got him in Silicon Valley, yeah.
Did I tell you or did you hear me tell the bottled water story about Shamar Turner? I've told it a couple times.
No, share with the class. I've not heard it. Neither has the class.
Yeah, so Shamar Turner.
Share it with the suckageers.
The suckageers must hear this. And I imagine the suckageers could probably use a sip of water right now, too. They probably got some sort of cotton mouth going on right now. So this is probably going to be good for them. But when Shamar Turner did his interview, his live and in-person interview, because we got to do the conference call with him immediately afterwards, the Zoom call, and then he gets up to the podium there. And with all of the people that get up there, the Bears PR staff puts water up there for them in case, there's usually three bottles of the Deja Blue Bears water. And, sometimes guys will sip on it, sometimes they won't. Shamar Turner, at the end of his press conference, kind of looks sheepishly at us in the meeting. He goes, "Hey, is it cool if I take this Deja Blue water?" And we're like, "Yeah, go ahead. And he was just so excited that he got to take the water. It was adorable.
That is great. That's wonderful. Yeah. I'm glad that he was feeling embraced, that he got a lovely parting gift of a bottle of water.
I've never seen a player like, I mean, maybe players have taken the water, but I've never seen them be like, "Oh, can I take this?" Yeah. Go ahead, Shamar. You're in the NFL now, man. You're at Hallis Hall. Take it. Go ahead. Get yourself some Deja Blue. Go downstairs. Get yourself a squirt. You're good.
Compare and contrast that with Jack O'Callaghan, a member of the 1980 Olympic team, the Miracle on Ice men. And he came to the Blackhawks, and he was introduced, and he had his Blackhawk hat on and ball cap and his Blackhawk jacket and sat through it. And here's a guy who just pulled off part of a team to pull off the greatest upset in sports history. And everything's over, and he's walking out, and Louis Varga, the equipment manager, says, "Hey, kid, I need the hat and the jacket back." Bill Wirtz was counting jackets and hats.
Oh, my God.
A member of the 1980 Olympic team had to give back the Blackhawks ball cap and jacket. So
that ain't the essence, man. I don't know what is.
So Shamar Turner got to keep the bottle, and he should treasure that.
Bad the Bears didn't get Shamar Stewart. Or do you see the Californians? I say that because for like the first 2 days, I couldn't stop saying Shamar Stewart because
I know you said it earlier in the interview.
I did?
Yes, you did. You dropped a Stewart where a Turner was needed.
Oh, my God. Weeder and I doing the Take the North podcast, we were going back and forth messing up his name. It got to be the point where we almost just stopped the podcast because we couldn't stop saying Shamar Stewart. So, wow. Okay.
Why don't you just put Shamar Turner on a wristband and give it out to each other?
Ooh, that's a good idea. I've got my Take the North wristband on right now. Did you get one, Steve?
I did not. Well, I'm not on anybody's email or mailing list or anything.
Panda needs to get you a, because he's the one that has been handing them out. He keeps them pretty close, but I've already lost one to my cat because Dave the cat
needed a Take the North wristband.
Well, yeah, like I get up the next day and it's like in his water because he'd been playing with it. Okay. And it was eaten, it was bitten through. It had been bitten.
Chewed on.
I'm like, what did you do, bro? So I had to get another one. But I know people on the podcast, so I'm usually able to
it's
get
it's good to have a guy. Yeah, you got a guy. You got some clout with the Take the North podcast. Good for you.
Yes. All right. I know people.
Thanks. I still have something else I need to talk to you about, but it's not worth taking up airspace.
Okay, I was going to say, I have to get back to not being able to get a hold of you. So I think, actually, I got a message from you. I'm going to go listen to it.
Yeah,
and we'll talk soon. No, call me, man. We'll talk.
Yeah, call me. Have your people call my people. Great, thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Mark Grody, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. All right, take a break. Ran a little longer than I thought, but we'll come back. And all of my thoughts about Bears trading up, getting, make sure you get the position, make sure you get the guy, and whatever the draft capital might be that you spend. Somebody, one of the smartest executives in the NFL, is going to just blow up my whole idea, and he's going to tell you why, and he makes way too much sense. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Hey, I know him. Welcome in, welcome back, Suckageers. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. If you wonder why the Baltimore Ravens are consistently good, it's the consistently good thinking of Eric DaCosta. For one thing, you got good coaching, you got players, good personnel, but DaCosta's in charge of the whole thing. He's the executive vice president, the GM. He went on a SeatGeek show. I didn't know SeatGeek had a show. Sean, did you know SeatGeek had a show?
I didn't. I didn't know they had a network. It's crazy.
Well, they do. And they got Eric DaCosta to sit down, and he's explaining his draft therapy. It really, you do need therapy for all we went through the draft. But I meant to say philosophy. Therapy is on my mind. And his philosophy is not trading up, only down, only acquiring more picks, because nobody in the NFL draft room knows nothing. So give a listen to Eric DaCosta.
For me, an important study called The Loser's Curse by Richard Thaler, who's an economist, and Cade Massey, who's a professor at Penn now. And the idea of it basically is that teams simply don't do any better drafting than anyone else. You're all going to be about the same, right? So the idea that you're going to trade up, and basically that the draft is inherently sort of a luck-driven process. Now, I don't believe that, but there is an element of luck involved. So if you think about that, and if you accept that premise, then you're trading up for a player that you think is better than anyone else, mm-hmm. right? And you think that that team's going to draft him.
Right.
But most of the time, they're not going to draft that player. Mm-hmm. And so what we've seen over the years is that player is probably going to fall to you. Could he be selected? Yes. But there's no guarantees that that player is going to be better than the player that you end up getting.
Yeah.
So they call it the loser's curse because the team at the top, it's like, oh, he's got the first pick in the draft. Well, you know what? The player that they select, we've seen this many times. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantees that that player is going to be better than the player that gets selected at 25 or 30 mm-hmm. in the first round. Mm-hmm. And so all things being equal, I know I'm doing a lot of talking about this, but it's a passion of mine.
Fascinating.
All things being equal, right? The fact that no one really knows who's going to be better than anyone else, the only rational approach is to get more at-bats,
right.
is to pick more. And so what we've seen over the last 5 years, but especially this year, everyone seems to be drafting players, the same players. So it's like going to a restaurant with 20 of your best friends, and there's 20 things on the menu, but all 20 of you are ordering one of the same three entrees, right? You're all getting the steak and you're all getting the pasta. Maybe a few guys are getting the crab cakes, but nobody's going after the vegetarian option,
right.
and nobody's getting the lamb. Mm-hmm. Everybody's eating the same things. That's kind of what the draft has become in some ways. And I don't know if that's because of the incredible media coverage, all the so-called draft experts, right? All the people that are putting up mock drafts and consensus boards and things like that. But for me, the idea of having more picks means I have the chance of getting more players.
Eric DaCosta, GM of the Ravens, executive vice president over there, SeatGeek TV, that's where he's at. And he's talking about how silly it is to trade up. And it makes total sense. You want more swings. That's what he wants. More chances. Because basically saying the subtext is, well, everybody wants the same thing and nobody knows nothing. And you can see with quarterbacks, they know nothing. The development on the way up, the choice of who you... And when he said, yeah, he's got the number one pick over there, right? And did you feel seen as a Bears fan? Like, oh yeah, well, they had the number one pick. And he wasn't as didn't have as good of a season as the number two pick did. And that kind of stuff. So I said earlier I wanted the Bears to trade up in the first round to get the tackle they loved. Maybe they didn't love anybody. Ryan Poles stayed at 10. Ben Johnson picked the pretty shiny thing. The Bears did trade in the second round. They kind of traded up, traded down, and then they traded up. So they sent 41 to the Bills in exchange for It sent 41 and 72 in exchange for 56, 62, and 109. And the Bears took Missouri receiver Luther Bird in the third at 39, Boston College offensive tackle Ozzie Trapillo at 56, and Texas A&M defensive tackle Shamar Turner at 62. The Bears traded down, then traded up. They gave up the higher pick on the front end of that, but they picked up a better spot to draft in when they got Shamar Turner. They didn't get more picks overall, but better picks in what experts regarded as the sweet spot of the draft. Of course, I feel like saying sweet spot would run counter to what DaCosta just said, his whole point, which is nobody knows nothing. And they have to justify everything, acting like they know everything. But one thing we do know is Eric DaCosta would never hire Ryan Pace for all the trade up that he did and all the draft capital he spent.
Confirmed, yeah. Ooh.
So the Bears finally took a tackle. Number 56, Ozzie Trapillo, 6'8", 316 pounds, Boston College. And they're talking about possibly they'll give him a shot at left tackle. Everybody gets a shot. Sean, your shot at left tackle comes on day three.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Maybe put Karan in before me.
Talk about not having an anchor. There's Sean Sears, ladies and gentlemen. So in the last couple of years, he's played right tackle. The Bears have a right tackle, and he's a good one. They drafted him with their 10th overall pick.
That's correct.
That's what they had, Darnell Wright, yeah. So Ozzie Trapillo is the rookie, slated to start or be given a shot over at left tackle. Good luck with that PTSD, Caleb. Now, Olin Kreutz was on the score Friday with Spiegel and Grody. Our last guest, Mark Grody, was co-hosting for Lawrence Holmes, and he was with Matt Spiegel. And Kreutz has got great insight, and he certainly knows. He has certainly been talking for years about the Bears' failure to invest in the infrastructure, that being the offensive line and defensive line. He's not that much of a he's not that much of a offensive lineman and a center and a, saying only this side of the ball. No, because he knows that's where it starts, and that's what the Bears finally figured out. So he has said since the draft he's really happy they've invested in draft picks in the offensive line, so you're getting your guys, you can train them, bring them along, you'll have them longer, you won't have to go to the free agent offensive lineman store and buy those guys. But when he was on yesterday with Spiegel and Grody, he was talking about how he wishes they had gotten to the offensive lineman before they did.
When they took Luther Burden in the second round, who is a great football player, another guy that I've been hearing about for years playing over there at East St. Louis, right? He played the same years as my boys, and they were like, you got to watch this kid play football, and he is a hell of a football player. But I saw that they took him, and I saw New Orleans was after. New Orleans already took a tackle there in the first round, so I thought to myself, perfect time to take Ursary out of Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. The kid who was Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year. Answer your left tackle question. You need a left tackle? Take the left tackle who's the Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year out of the University of Minnesota. So, hey, look, I'm not like that. I'm not high on Ozzie Trapillo. I am. I just thought that would have been a good pick, but they turned into two picks, and they got Shamar Turner, who a lot of people are high on with the way he plays football and stops the run and uses his hand and his violence in the middle of the offensive line. But that would be one, Speaks, that I would say, okay, now you had a chance there to add a guy who just plays left tackle, right? Like, just you had all your answers there. You had Darnell Wright. You had your whole line. Plug that guy in. Let him compete against Braxton Jones and Kron Amagaji. Instead, you left a little questions out there. So that's one a little bit that I'll be looking at down the years, obviously, Monday morning quarterback, right? Like, why didn't you just take the left tackle? But that's one. If you ask me what I'm looking at, that would be it.
Monday morning offensive lineman, Olin Kreutz. And he makes a valid point. There was a left tackle there, and you put that guy in there. You know, there's no question about Darnell Wright. He's good where he is now, and you don't have to make two positions worse if you're going to move him to left tackle and put a rookie in at right tackle. So that's Olin's statement, and Olin's got a scorecard. And Olin will, for those of you scoring at home, Olin is going to keep score at home, and he'll let you know that, as he has all the years of the Bears never invested in the infrastructure of the offensive line. So take a break. We come back. We'll talk about the Cubs version of the offensive line, which is third base. Top of the hour, I'll talk to Mark Gonzalez. Gonzo was writing baseball. He was not working for one of the two papers, but he was working for the Sun-Times. He submitted a piece to the Sun-Times about the evil, the dreaded and inevitable Brewers. So we'll talk to Gonzo about that. But first, some thoughts on third base for the Cubs. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score.
Well, I think the ultimate hope is that, Matt Shaw will go down to AAA, kind of, find his swing again and come back up. I mean, that's sort of the hope and the plan.
Hope is not a plan. A plan is a plan. Jed Hoyer, Cubs, GM, team president, all that kind of stuff. Whatever's important, that's what he is. So Matt Shaw went down, and he was the guy who was supposed to be their starting third baseman and stay at their starting third baseman, and he went down the minors, and he's raking. He looks like a 4A player right now. Alex Bregman, meanwhile, had a 1.5 war entering May. That's a pretty good war. Cubs third baseman, I did some loose math. My math is always loose. Combined for a minus 0.3. Bregman, 1.5. Cubs, minus territory, a minus integer. Cubs apparently finished fourth of four teams bidding for Bregman. They offered 4 years, $120 million, opt-out options in 26, 27. At least that's what I saw reported. the Red Sox, here you can opt out sooner, here's your deal, same amount of money, shorter contract, deferred money, however you want to do it. Is this appeal to you? Is this what we want? Yeah, I guess it appealed to him. The Cubs have their ways of doing things, just like the sabotage Sox did with Manny Machado. How'd that work out for everybody? I mean, it was really simple there. Machado wanted 10 years. The White Sox offered 8. Well, they offered 10, but the last two, you just earn these incentives. If you're really Manny Machado, you'll reach them. And the Padres said, oh, here's 10 years. You don't have to do anything except be Manny Machado, and it's all guaranteed. Here's 10 years. No caveats, no clauses, no nothing. So Padres weren't trying to be the smartest guys in the room. They just wanted the player. The Padres realized who had the leverage, and that was the player. And so the player gets what he wants. White Sox didn't realize that. I don't know what the Cubs realized with Alex Bregman, other than they didn't get him, and they were the last of the four bidders in that case. Don't know if it's owner-driven, GM-driven, how much of the budget, how onerous it had to be looking this year and forward. But that's kind of the way the Cubs did business with Alex Bregman, who was out there, and I realize the Cubs are in first place now, but can you imagine Bregman in that lineup? Now, Nicky Lopez made a really nice play at third base, which at this point, that's all the Cubs want. They want a third baseman who can play third base. Well, they'll take anybody who can play third base. And Nicky Lopez made a nice play. And they're getting a bunch of offense from everybody else to make up for it. But that won't always be the case all year. It never is. And there's Alex Bregman, who the man who might have been. I don't know if the Cubs will continue doing business that way when they see what happened with the hole at third base, with the problem. But if that's true, then good luck with that whole Kyle Tucker thing, Cub fans.
Yeah, man, isn't it a bummer? It's almost like the Cubs like should have gone and signed like one of his buddies to play third base and they wouldn't have all these problems.
Right. Yeah, oh, where was Yonder Alonso to make him sign
yeah,
to the
where
Cubs?
Where was Kyle Tucker's cousin here?
Now, you could argue that signing Bregman would have changed everything. And you wouldn't, maybe you wouldn't be getting what you're getting from everybody else. Michael Busch doesn't hit the Grand Slam, right? Because it's likely Bregman's batting fourth, right? Somebody else is. Michael Busch is batting fourth yesterday, hits the Grand Slam, and oh my God, that changed so much. And you ran over the Brewers. You ran over the inevitable team, the team that has run the division and owned the division. And it looked like they were going to take Chicago this week and finally gain some traction. That's what I read into what Mark Gonzalez wrote in the Sun-Times. And I wanted to talk to Gonzo about it. But now, suddenly, you're dealing with a Brewers team that hasn't scored 19 innings. Shut out by the White Sox. Shut out by the Cubs. Wow. Can they vanquish this team that has been so vexing? And yet they always come in. They always come in to play in September, and here they go. And you know what? I'll talk to Gonzo about it. And the Cubs will be coming up on this here radio station. Let me alert you to that. The Cubs continue their series tonight against the Brewers in Milwaukee. Pre-game coverage starts at 5:35. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer have the first pitch at 6:10 on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Gonzo, next, Chicago Sports Radio. He's our deluxe baseball guest. Next, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.